Good morning, Christ. Peace to all of you. I love these special days where there are some convergences like today. Graduates, we are so honored to have you with us and your families, and we praise God for you. We're praying for you as you celebrate this beautiful moment and as you head into what's ahead. Armed Forces Weekend, Armed Forces Sunday, we thank you for those who have served or who do serve. And as you do that, particularly in Jesus' name as Christians, honoring our Lord, promoting his peace and protection in the world, thank you. And then thirdly, it's a special day, as Bryant mentioned, because it's Ascension Sunday. You've heard that in all of the liturgy. We're celebrating that Christ not only came, lived and died for us, rose again for us, but ascended up into the heavens and sits at the right hand of God, demonstrating that all of his work is complete, that he has won victory for us as our champion. And he is honored in the heavens. This is his graduation day, if you will, his homecoming, his celebration. And we enter into that together with him. This is a story today in our David series that connects beautifully with that. Long before Jesus came as son of David, David himself came and was a champion for the people of Israel and defeated a great enemy on Israel's behalf. But ultimately, it was God who won the victory. Let's come back to a very familiar story, David and the giant, 1 Samuel 17, beginning in verse 31. Hear the words of the Lord. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and strung the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Shurim as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. As soon as Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." And the king said, "Inquire whose son the boy is." And as soon as David returned from striking down of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. O Lord Christ, you are our strength and shield, the defender and champion of your people. You're the warrior who saves us, and we worship and adore you. Thank you for coming to earth to be our champion, our victor over evil and the evil one, conquering the giants named Satan, sin, death, and misery. We celebrate you as victorious and ascended Lord this day. Our voices join in with the throngs of the heavens, celebrating your name now and forever. Teach us today, Jesus, teach us from this passage to hope in God, to hope in your victory as God come to be our great champion, to realize that you have won for us and we may follow on with you in the battle. The great giant has been defeated. Lord, we may celebrate that and join with you in spreading your good news to the world. We pray it all in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So almost all of us, whether we grew up in the church or not, heard the story of David and Goliath as younger people, right? We tend to think of it so much as a children's story, but really there's so much here. It was great to come back to this passage again and just sort of sit with it again all during this last week. And I love what Eugene Peterson says in his book on David, Leap Over a Wall. He says, you know, this story starts off as a children's story for many of us, but we need to give it a chance to mature, to grow within us like a fine wine so that its real power and flavor can be unleashed, so that it matures in our souls and we mature together with it. This is not so much a story about learning courage, being brave young people, going out into the world, be brave graduates and go take on the world, right? It's not really a story about that. It's not even really a story about what Malcolm Gladwell says in writing a book about it, of being cunning and wise and nimble in the business world, learning how to use your underdog moments to your advantage and to topple the giants. Interesting take. Not really what the story is about. Ultimately, the story is about God as victor and God winning victory for his people in Christ, a victory we get to share in, to celebrate, and to go forward in together with Jesus. Let's process that together this morning in three ways. First of all, let's come back to the most basic reality here. The victory over the giant is God's. In every story, right, no matter how tall or large the other characters are or how bold, the main character is always God. Every story in the world is that way, particularly the stories of the Bible are that way, whether it's more subtle or in your face. God is the hero of every story, and this is no different. We meet Goliath here, right? He's described earlier in this chapter as being maybe as big as 9+ feet tall. It's a little discrepancy in some of the original best text and manuscripts we have. Is he more like 7 feet tall to approaching 10 feet tall? Whatever he is, he's big and he's massive. For his time, he would have been utterly a giant. He's wearing here a suit of armor when we meet him that is described earlier in this chapter again as weighing 125 pounds. this scaled armor that he has that sort of makes him look like this giant serpent, this giant dragon, right? And he has a spear, a javelin, that has a head on it made of iron that weighs 15 pounds, okay? So this guy is massive and huge. And throughout the Bible, right, just like in ancient literature and things like the Odyssey or more modern literature like Jack and the Beanstalk or Tolkien's stuff or Lewis's stuff, right? Giants are the bad guys. Giants are people who have to be dealt with. They're overpowering, they're overwhelming, but somehow they have to be toppled. And that's how we meet them in the Bible, right? You find giants early on spoken of in the early chapters of Genesis as people who come to be against God or a part of this broken, fallen world that God has to cleanse by flood and start over again. We find giants in the land of promise, right? When Israel is called to go in and take the land, giants that make the people feel like they're grasshoppers in their sight, right? Giants that have to be toppled and overcome. But here's the most famous giant, right? In all of Scripture, this Goliath, maybe is almost 10 feet tall, this massive being. And what does he do? More than anything else, he taunts. He decries David. He decries all the troops of Israel, Saul, the king of Israel. Ultimately, what he's doing is taunting and decrying God. He's saying, look, I'm the champion of the Philistines. I've been put here by our gods. You raise up somebody to be your champion and to come and fight with me. Let's see what your God has to offer against our gods. Taunting, taunting is what he does over and over again. And that's what giants do in our lives, right? They taunt us. They try to overpower us and bully us and press on to us. There are some smaller giants in this story, right, that you meet. There is Eliab, David's older brother, the oldest of the sons. David is number 8. Eliab is number 1. We learned earlier, a chapter earlier, that he's very tall. He's very handsome, right? And he, in the beginning of this chapter, when David comes to visit from tending the sheep, says, get out of here. What are you talking about coming among these soldiers and talking about who this Goliath is and how he's defying God? Get out of here. Go back to the sheep. Go back to daddy. Go back home. We've got no place for you here. Just sort of does a big older brother move and smashes him down. And then there's Saul, who is right a head taller than anybody in Israel. Who's this one who's sort of a giant himself, who's been leading Israel. But now when this bigger threat comes, when he gets out-gianted, right, he's just cowering behind the lines. He's just anxious and terrified and doesn't even want to see David go out and face this giant. But here comes David, not trying to out-giant the giant. What does he do? He strips himself of the armor that Saul tries to give him, the sword Saul tries to give him, and he kneels by this book to just grab a few stones for his sling. I love what Peterson says about this, Eugene Peterson, in his book on David. He says, here you've got this powerful giant towering over David who's going to dominate and smash everything. You've got these lesser giants that have tried to put David in his place, his older brother, or who try to make David outfitted their way in their own anxieties and their own frailties. But when David, the shepherd boy, kneels by this brook and grabs these just 5 little stones, he's showing a whole nother way that there is a power in God that topples giants, that topples the giant, Goliath. And the victory here is the Lord's. Before we move on, just a couple little application points. I remember graduation weekend, 1980, Lakeland Senior High School. I was asked to give the speech at graduation. I have given a lot of talks. That ranks as among the worst I've ever given. It was terrible. Some rot about how man went to the moon and we can fly up in the power of rock. It was just terrible. I blanked out completely in the middle of it, right? Just I totally like froze for like 30 seconds. It was horrible. I don't have PTSD or anything. It's terrible. Whatever your graduation is, it'll be better than that. I promise. But, you know, what I thought I was trying to communicate is, as graduates, we're going to go out and do great things, and we're going to have great power, and we're going to flex our muscles, and we're going to go out and take on the world. Right, what this story reminds us of is it is not by might and it is not by power, but it is by my strength, says the Lord. I would say to every graduate, to every one of us, but especially for younger people, if you can catch that now, right, that it is not your goal in life is not to outgiant the giants. It is to kneel before God and beg that his power would be at work to protect you, to save you, to renew his world all around you. The other point here just is that God really is a warrior God who fights for us. God is the God who wins the battle, and we can rest there. Sunday, again, what's the beautiful thing about every Sunday? It's a space for you to rest, to remember that God really is victor, that Christ really reigns on the throne, ascended at the right hand of God, that the battle is the Lord's. And you can see striving and be still and know that he is God. The victory is God's. Secondly, the victory is God's through his champion. How does God win the victory here, right? Through David being the champion. Goliath is the champion of the Philistines. David is raised up to be the champion of Israel. Goliath, right, is this image of Satan himself, this giant monster who's cursing God, who's denying God, stands against everything that God and his people are about, right? Wearing scales of armor like some giant serpent, dragon, right? You know, he's this picture of Satan. Who's David? A picture of Jesus. Jesus is going to be great David's greater son, but not because he outgiants the giant. Because he strips himself of all worldly power too. Because he empties himself of all of his glory and power, even in the heavens, to come down and humble himself and defeat the giant of Satan and the lesser giants alongside him of sin and death and misery. Right? By stripping himself like David, by humbling himself to a death, even death on the cross. We're not so much to see ourselves like David in the story. We're to see David as like Jesus and just worship. He's our champion. Ascension Day. Jesus, you've won. It is finished. How glorious it is. We celebrate and honor you. If you try to make this story about David's courage or David's strength or David's cunning and craft or wisdom or any of those things, those are true points. But if that's what your takeaway is, you're going to miss what the story is ultimately all about, and you're going to miss the grace that could be yours, right? Because if you say, well, I want to learn to be brave like David, well, that might work for you in a moment. But what about those moments when you're more like all these armies of Israel all around? Or like Saul or like Eliab, who has a lot of power and strength in the family. Saul's got all the power and strength. Both these guys are tall and strong physically, right? But they've been outgianted. What happens when you get outgianted? Will you trust in God to win the victory by his champion? Jesus? And will you worship there and celebrate there and hope there? The victory is God's by his champion, and then he invites his people into it. Isn't this interesting? David wins this battle, right? Goliath said, the stakes are, if you beat me, then we're all, you know, we give. But what happens is, right, God slays the giant in and through David, the champion, as he looks to God's power and strength. And then what happens? All of Israel begins to join in the battle. David has made a way for everybody else to come in and be part of the battle too, to go chase the Philistine army back to Gath, back to Ekron, to chase them all the way, and then to go and plunder their camps. Right at this point in the story, if you go back and back read a little bit in Samuel, Israel is in a place of dire need. Like they are so oppressed by the Philistines that at times they can't even plant or harvest their crops. They don't have swords, any of them, in the army for a season because the Philistines take away all of their sort of people who would sharpen implements and craft things out of iron for them. They've got nothing. Right, but God wins this amazing victory and says, come on, be a part of it with me. Grads, service people, all of us, what I hope you catch today is God has come in Christ and won an ultimate victory over sin and death and misery and Satan himself. And now we get to go be in the battle too. We get to go share that news. I love what Oscar said to the graduates. It's a good word for all of us. Wherever God sends us, wherever God places us, we do that as people of God in Christ. We do that in a sense as the army following in behind Jesus, spreading through our deeds and our character and our strength of God and our weakness, and the words we share directly, the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ through deed and word and way of life. And watch what he does with that. Watch how the glory of the Lord begins to fill the world around us, even as the waters cover the sea. Watch how the enemy of death and darkness is ultimately defeated. Our Lord is coming back, and right now he reigns over everything for the sake of his church, and he's saying, come on, join the battle together with me. I've won it. I'll give you a dose of my courage. My strength will be made perfect in your weakness. Kneel here. Don't do battle the way the world does. Do battle with humility and with my gospel and with service and with love, and watch what I do. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We praise and exalt you for this time. And we pray, Lord, that whether we're a graduate today or wherever we are in our lives today, whether we're a service person today or not, we are your people, your army, O Christ, and you have won for us. May we rest there. May we hope there. May we follow you there to extend your victory in the world. We pray this all, Jesus, in your name, for your name's sake. Amen.